Tell me how this project came about. Like, what inspired this?
Well, maybe about in 2009, I was working on this documentary film about people in Baltimore and their thoughts about whether they were having experiences with nature while living in the city. And I gathered a lot of interview notes and tons of photographs while I wandered around all the different neighborhoods. I mean, I probably interviewed people in 20 or 30 different neighborhoods in Baltimore. And at the end of the film, I had all of these field notes and many little beginnings of poems that just crept into the field notes. You know, there wasn't a big difference between a poem and a field note, I realized. And then there were a lot of photographs. So that was the first thing. And the second thing, in the documentary, most of the people talking about the thing about living in the city that they felt they, when they got closer to nature and really wanted more opportunities to do this, was walking. Walking has always been something that I've gotten a lot of enjoyment and comfort from, and just interest. So the ordinary world is so full of mystery. There are bird sounds, there are automobile sounds, there's truck sounds, there's motor sounds from air conditioners, there are people's voices, footsteps. I mean, all of this to me is just a wonderful cacophony, beautiful symphonic cacophony. You know, it's, I guess, one of the, I tried not to be too academic in the book with theories and so on, but I do kind of have a theory that ecology is often just thought of as a natural science or a biological science, and people talk about air quality and soil quality and ecosystem components being, you know, flora and fauna. But for me, ecosystem has to include memories, histories, people's wishes, their fears, all of these things, to me, flow through the ecosystem the same way air does, and or this car that's driving by us right now. And I was hoping to capture some of that. I was hoping that by using poems, which are traditionally kind of more of a lyric reflection, at least for me they are, I thought, you know, maybe I could capture some of the nuances of other things that I think flow through a city and are natural, but we might overlook them. Especially some of the marble steps going up to some of the houses, the row houses in Baltimore. You know, when you're driving by, you can't see that the age of these steps, I don't know if they're marble or granite, but you can't really see that there are impressions of people's footprints, you know, some of those houses were probably built, you know, in the 1800s and earlier, and families coming and going, and the impressions of their histories are in those steps, and there's no way that you would see that if you just are driving all the time. So I really love the detail of what we get from the past and memories that can come out when you're, you know, experiencing the place using your whole body. Love that. I love Bolton Hill. I work in Bolton Hill. I feel like there's such a great history of writers who've lived in Bolton Hill too. And I love that the sidewalks, like this one we're walking on right now, this brick sidewalk, is all upended by the tree roots, and it has that history, and it has the history of the trees under it. I love Mayfield. I live in Mayfield, and I wandered a lot around in Mayfield and adjacent Laurelville. But I also love neighborhoods that people might not, you know, think of visiting. You know, I loved East Baltimore. There's a place near Olivia Street in the Baltimore Cemetery that, you know, I just had such a good time at a street party there one time. I love alleys too. That's a wonderful thing about Baltimore. But I do want to say that, you know, I talk to a lot of people whose experience of safety in their neighborhoods and walking, you know, just is nil. You know, that the idea of walking in an alley like we're walking in now, or walking through their neighborhoods is not something that is okay for them. And I think one of the things that came up a lot in my research is how having a life on the street, you know, shops with tables and shop owners who are, you know, maybe living nearby or who are engaged with what's happening in the neighborhood, all of that contributes to the sense of well-being, which is part of health. So I'm going to read a couple of poems here. We're sitting on this stoop on Bolton Street. None of the poems in the book have titles because it's really one long book. So it's one book-length poem, and the poems are, there are 35 or 6 of them, and hopefully, my hope is that it just reads more like a whole book rather than a collection of separate works. In love, because the city won't let up, no matter how much rocking. In love with this city, as if a surprise walked through the door wearing suspenders and red striped pants. In love with the intersection and its ingenious abutment of asphalt and grit, where chicory roots in the joining and age-old rainwater bubbles in the gutter, bobbing toward the harbor and the sea. In love with the difficult stories, because they are mine, because they are not mine. Just after dawn light, like Caravaggio's on the row house bricks.
Where was that inspired?
You know, I think there's a couple. I mean, one was sitting on stoops just like this. The other was watching a rainstorm over on Preston and Greenmont Street. I've taken hundreds of photographs of a restaurant there called the Chicken Nook. I just love that corner. I love the name, the Chicken Nook. I love the orange and, you know, the signs in the windows. And so it had rained, and there was a big puddle, and the water was in the gutter, and it was making its way down, you know, Greenmont on the way to the harbor. And I also love, I've been also wandering for this project around Westport. And there's gorgeous views of the Hanover Street Bridge and the Middle River. I guess it's one branch of the Middle River, and where the Gwens Falls River runs into the harbor. So you can see the Hanover Street Bridge, and I put together in my imagination that those raindrops were landing in that gutter outside the Chicken Nook and making their way down to the water that I could see looking out at the Hanover Street Bridge. All right, let me try another one here. This poem comes at the end of the book, but it's the title poem. So the title of the book, It Can Be Solved by Walking, is really taken from a Latin phrase, Salvator Ambulando, which was the name that medieval monks gave to their practice of solving problems big and small by walking the labyrinth. And I was attracted to that idea that many of the problems that we might have, both personal and larger scale human problems, could be solved by walking. So this poem starts with that line. It can be solved by walking, or take a bike, something slower than driving, something less contained, especially, something that permits a breeze or a squirrel to enter, a rat to rattle you, that sort of surprise. The kind that's overruled by the speed and strength that is the armor of the world. Unplug your ears. The honks and screeches roll in like Mozart. Unbuckle the distaste for poverty and grit. The world is either a beautiful iceberg or a mountaintop thrown from its source to the faraway sea. And the gods who aren't believed in anymore are out there hiding behind windows and under the stoops. One of them struts the sidewalk with his two-colored hat. One side of the street sees red, the other side green. He passes again with his hat flipped around just for fun. Everyone goes to court. It's a kind of togetherness, all of us arguing and shining like the sun.
Jennifer Wallace's poetry collection, It Can Be Solved by Walking, is published by City Lit Press. She spoke to The Signal's Lisa Morgan in April of 2012. You can find out more about the author at jenniferwallacepoetry.com.